a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the number one network in Milwaukee, on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook and on the free Odyssey app.
Football is stupid. Football is stupid. You can't convince me otherwise. Football is stupid. I didn't say I didn't love it. I just said it's stupid. Two things can be true.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
I mean, people love me and I'm stupid. So, I mean, I got that going for me.
That is true. You've proved me wrong in that moment right there.
On people loving him or that he's stupid?
Both. Two things can be true.
There it is. Two things can be true.
This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. Everybody else is new and we are the best. Am I allowed to say that? I just did.
Yeah. We're not new.
No, we're the best. We're new time though, noon to two. And joining us now, and he's going to tell us everything. He's going to tell us who to blame. Matt LaFleur or the offensive line or Jordan Love or Snoop Dogg probably has something to do with it. Probably just like playing against a team that wears uniforms that look like poop. I don't know. That probably has something to do with it. Joining us now from the USA Today Green Bay Press Gazette, the one, the only. His team's not in the wild card anymore, so he's kind of depressed about baseball too. Ryan Wood.
Man, Ryan. That one hit.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Ryan. Oh, hold on. I should probably turn you on. There you go. Go ahead.
Good to see you, too. Thanks for that. Yeah, yes. As if I needed to wake up today and have that reminder.
Seriously. Ryan, who do we blame? Who do we place the blame on for this game?
Tyrese Halliburton,
yes.
Achilles tendons. You know, it's not one person in specific. I mean, it's a whole lot of blame to go around when you lay a disaster of those proportions, right? You can't throw the pick. You have to know that what the safety's responsibilities are, recognize that he can slide into that throwing window and never let go of that football. That can't happen. You can't, all week you're preaching Shelby Harris is the guy on field goal block you have to account for. You can't let him get that kind of leverage and get his right hand that high in the air and just smack it down for a sixth all-time career blocked field goal in 11 NFL seasons. If he's the one guy, he can't be the guy to block the kick.
Brutal.
You can't have all those offensive line issues, which is where I think it kind of started. Yep. You know, Jordan Love throws the interception. Other than that, I thought Jordan Love was okay, other than one terrible, terrible interception.
Yeah.
He was harassed all day. He was sacked 5 times in 3 quarters. And that's only the second time in his career he's been sacked 5 times in a game. The only other time was week 4 of 2023 when Jordan Love was still very much a new starting quarterback trying to figure out in the league. So much of that I don't put on Jordan Love. And it'd be one thing if he was just under constant duress. He wasn't. There was also penalties up and down the offensive line. Yeah, it was a double whammy. So, and on top of that, you had 10 days to prepare an offensive game plan for this game. How does Zach Tom get on the field only playing one snap when you have all week to evaluate him medically? That should never happen. But you've got – I get, hey, the Cleveland Browns defense is very, very good. It is a very legit top NFL defense. But you had 10 days to come up with a game plan, and that's what you had. Yeah, Matt LaFleur gets some too.
Well, I think sometimes that's the issue, right? It's like, talk about overthinking. It's like, all right, we have 10 days. We're planning. They have like a whole list of plays to run. Like, supposedly, I don't know if that was the truth from what the commentator – they kept saying that. If Myles Garrett's out – This is our play sheet, right? And it's like that should not be a game plan. Like, we should have just like something like a rhythm, like have a plan outside of like specific players, on the field. I get that happens, and you have to be mindful. But I just feel like if that was the focus, you're focused on a lot of the wrong things. And I go back to that interception. And I was just watching it again, and I was watching it this morning over and over again. And honestly, I'm gonna say like, I'm not sure if it was supposed to be all slants. I'm not sure Dontavian Wicks ran a slant route there. Like, if he's supposed to run a slant, he did not cut in front of anybody. Like, in my mind, a slant is a couple steps. He's just cutting in front of that linebacker. So maybe that's what Jordan thought he was doing as well, was that there was no way that linebacker or that safety is going to be a problem because that route's supposed to be underneath all of that anyways. So whenever little mistakes start popping up like that, it just kind of boiled to that very last moment. And then those last like couple minutes of that game, 5 minutes of that game, just was a complete meltdown whenever it didn't need to be. You run the ball. You don't pass that ball. You don't do that. You punt it down. The Browns aren't going to drive the length of the field and beat and tie that game, or, you know, get in a position to win that game like they did if you don't turn the ball over there, you know, in the fourth quarter.
Hey, Mason, I don't know if you've given your opinion on this today or not, but did you have any problem with the trajectory of the kick?
I did talk about it earlier, and I prefaced it with saying I'm not, you know, I'm never going to just like break down and like be like, oh man, that was awful, you know, unless it's just blatantly just, all right, that was a miss, that was a bad kick. I did say the snap might have been just a little, you know, just a little low. But, I mean, like, if we're being nitpicky, I thought the timing was really slow. I thought the operation was very slow. And then for that interior, to get a block in the middle, you know, you probably didn't hit it exactly like you wanted. Because, yeah, they got some push, but it wasn't, like, astronomical. It wasn't like, oh, my gosh, they're, like, falling, like, right in his face. So, yeah, I bet if you ask McManus, he's like, yeah, I probably didn't hit my best kick. Yeah, could it have gone in? Like, should I have, you know, should it have gone in? Yeah, sure. Like, I expect to make that kick all the time. But, yeah, if you look at it, all the things that happened, it probably was not the best operation of a field goal kick that we've seen. And, I mean, that kind of stuff, like, it does worry me whenever those things start popping up, because the weather couldn't have been better there in Cleveland. You know, like the situation couldn't have been a better situation. I think that's what you hope for, is like you're getting a, you know, 35 to 45 yard field goal to go win a game. Like those are the things you practice all the time. So to not be able to execute there is I know Brandon, that group is disappointed, and it's just disappointing whenever you don't come through in that moment.
I was surprised to hear from Matt Orzech that he felt like the timing was his internal clock was what it needed to be, because when you have a 43-yard field goal, yeah, and it's blocked right up the middle like that, at first, I mean, the back angle, my first view of it, I thought it was the guy coming from the outside. No. It wasn't. It cleared him. It's blocked up the middle. Jordan Love or Jordan Morgan, he needs to have better leverage, and he can't be pushed back. Yeah. There's multiple things going on, but that football should clear the line of scrimmage. Right. I mean, up the middle like that. That's not what you expect.
Yeah. In a situation like that, again, perfect conditions, you know, field looked like it was in good shape. Like, you know, yeah, the expectation is that you can just hit a high ball, release it, and let that thing go. It doesn't matter if it's 35 or, you know, 45 yard field goal, like those should be the same kicks in that situation. Again, McManus is a pro, and I'm sure he's just like, yeah, I mean, I gotta do better. Honestly, like, my brother texted me, just full disclosure, he texted me, he was like, I think he was missing left if that doesn't get blocked. And, you know, if you watch it, you could probably have that argument. I mean, you know, from that, yeah, I mean, where he blocked that kick, I mean, it was like kind of left of the guard, unless it had a little, you know, a little fade action, which sometimes those balls do. Yeah, that ball might not have been hit great and might have been going left. So, honestly, as a kicker, sometimes you're like, I mean, like, I don't want to get kicks blocked, but I'd almost rather have it blocked than miss a kick in that situation.
I'll give you something I did not have a problem with, and I might be in the minority here, but I did not have a problem with them throwing on that third and three. Mm. I had a huge problem with throw, but I did not have a problem with them throwing. First and foremost, Josh Jacobs averaged 1.9 yards per carry.
Yeah, they weren't running.
They were not running and getting a first down there. I think you have to like the mentality from the sideline of, okay, the Browns have one timeout, which means if you get the first down here, the game's over. Yep. Yes, you could play to the defense that was just dominating Joe Flacco all day. I understand that. But I don't think you want the sideline thinking passively in that situation. I think you want the sideline thinking, let's go win a game right here.
For sure.
We need 3 yards. We're not going to be able to run it. Put it in our $55 million a year quarterback's hands and have him make a play. I think that was the thinking. I know Matt LaFleur said after the game, maybe run one of those RPOs. They hit him on the Browns defense a couple times. Maybe you do that instead. You cannot have just a straight handoff in that situation. The Browns shut down your run game all day. So I don't have a huge problem with the decision to throw. It's just I think it was very clear that when Jordan Love read the defense, he thought Grant Delpit was taking Tucker Kraft, the inside slant. And it was almost like he saw it last minute because that throw was
– He almost tried to almost hold on. Yeah.
He was like, oh, no, in slow motion. And he just couldn't hold up, and that's what happened. So the decision to throw, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the aggressiveness in that situation. It's just Jordan Love can't make that throw. He's got to be able to
– I agree with you, but I also my issue was the personnel group. I mean, tighten that formation up, kind of show run, do whatever. If you want to release tight ends out, try to just get a tight end in the flat, something like a mismatch type of situation. That makes way more sense than all of a sudden against that defense, like spreading everybody out, letting them kind of just see that we're in this, you know, pass formation. Josh Jacobs not even on the field, right? It's like they knew what was going to happen there. I would have put in that three tight end package, kind of tightened everything up, and then just tried to scrape something and get something on the edge potentially there. I think that's probably where LaFleur is saying it was a bad play call, not just from the call to on the routes and like what they did, but also personnel grouping. I'm sure he's like, I wish I could have that back. I would have put different guys on the field and tried to make something happen in that situation. Because I agree with you. If you can't run, if you haven't been running the ball, what do you think you're going to get 3 yards in that situation? I don't mind them passing. I just think it was a bad, all around bad situation that they put themselves in. I want to ask you a question, Ryan, because we talked about that offensive line a little bit and you hit on it. But rewatching some of the offensive series, for the first time, at the center position, I thought Elgton Jenkins didn't have his best. He didn't have a great game. Like he looked a little slow off the ball. Like he was again playing a great defense on the road is a whole different animal. They're going, they can't have a snap count. The defense is kind of dictating a little bit more of what you're doing on offense. And it looked like Elgton just kind of got exposed in the middle of that defense a lot. Mason Graham, had a 43% pressure rate. So talk about, what the interior of that offensive line and from your point of view, what you thought about it.
Well, and from Ken Ingles, too, to add on, this is a very important season for Elgton, too, Ryan, as, this is a cut trade candidate next season that could cool $20 million off the cap space, according to Ken Ingles, when they've spent so much money and have no money next year.
Yeah, it wasn't Elgton Jenkins' finest day, but it wasn't anyone's finest day on that offensive line. Just the mere fact that at one point during a third quarter drive, they lose Rashid Walker too. And the musical chairs going on where you're taking you don't just have three backups on the field, but you're moving different spots. You're bringing Darian Kennard in, so yep. Jordan Morgan go left. Like, it's just there's too much action going on in that offensive line. It's going to be very difficult for anyone, even if it's Elgton Jenkins at center, to have a good day with that much going on. Just the fact that Zach Tom only lasted one snap, he should have never been on the field. If you can't play more than that, you're not medically ready to go. You can see why they wanted him to go, because that offensive line had it handed to him by the Browns defensive front. They saw all week on film, this is a very, very good Browns defensive front. Got to have our best five. There was urgency there, but you're not helping anyone if you can't play. And he wasn't helping anyone with one snap. You wonder if kind of ruling him out a little early and being able just to work with one group throughout the week instead of juggling throughout the week in practice – if there would have been more cohesion on the offensive line, because that's what I ultimately saw, was a group that just they weren't cohesive. They were not connected, and they were going against the Browns defensive front that absolutely took full advantage of that.
Yeah, I totally agree. We got Ryan Wood here, as he is always going to be joining the Mason Crosby Show at 1 o'clock. He's with the Green Bay Press Gazette. We're licking our wounds from that that bad Browns loss. I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week, though. I feel like the Browns, like, defensively are an elite team. And this was one of those where, I mean, The Packers should have won that game for sure, but yep. I don't think we were under any impression that this was just going to be a cakewalk. Like, you know, they were gonna be tough, and they were gonna, you know, hit us in the mouth on defense, and we were gonna have to try to be productive on offense. You know, in spite of that, our defense, you know, Packers defense did their job. So, you know, what do you think of this Browns team? And do you think it's as bad of a loss as everyone's saying? I think odds makers, I think it's like all the pieces that you kind of said, like, there's an expectation to win that game. But like after it has unfolded, like what are you gonna look back on this loss and kind of feel if they right the ship and this season goes as planned?
Certainly the way it happened was bad. And I don't just mean the last 3.5 minutes, although yes, that was also bad. I was asked after the game by a colleague on the beat, you ever seen that before? And I'm sorry, Mason, but my response was, yeah, I was in Seattle for the 2014 NFC Championship.
Oh, Tommy.
Tommy brought that up.
Yeah, thank you. Tommy.
There were flashbacks there, right? But other than that, it's pretty rare. You don't see that a whole lot. It's a rare collapse. But think about this. 3 straight weeks now, the Packers have jumped out to a double-digit lead before their opponent scores a point.
Yep.
They had that game in the bag. They couldn't put it away. And there were so many opportunities to put that game away. Why could they not put it away? Simple. They didn't execute. Their execution was very, very poor offensively. The special teams execution was poor. More penalties. An unbelievable tsunami of penalties, 14 that were called. You can't have those things happen. There's too many things you can't have happen that happened. Now, let's think back to last week. Their left tackle, Rashid Walker, is talking about going undefeated after 2 games. I asked Jordan Love point blank yesterday, do you feel like internally you guys bought into your own hype a little bit? And he dismissed that. But that kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? When you have a starting left tackle talking about going undefeated after 2 games,
yes,
they're
sir.
Feeling themselves
yes,
a little
sir.
Bit, right?
That's right.
So what's been in my head since the final gun, and I don't think this is an easy answer either way, but is it better for this team to have had a bad win, a sloppy win, to be 3-0 and still be the toast of the NFL? Like, hey, look, even on a day they didn't have it at all, they went into Cleveland and they won.
Yes.
They're 3-0. They still stopped the Lions, stopped the Commanders, and still feeling themselves a little bit. Or is it better for this team to have that brick wall, hit you in the mouth type shocking loss that humbles you? And you're like, oh, God, no matter how loaded this roster is, no matter how much talent we have in this locker room, if we don't show up, we can lose even to the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
We have to show up and execute and have that wake-up call now as opposed to letting it linger, feeling yourself, and having that wake-up call in January, which has happened to this team too many times over the past decade. I don't think there's an easy answer there. You take the win, right? Because you look at the NFC, it's an arms race. Philly got the field goal block yesterday. They did what it took to win. Now they're 3-0. Tampa Bay's 3-0. San Francisco, don't look up now, but Kyle Shanahan's again 3-0. There's some 3-0 teams here that the Lions have recovered. We'll see what they do tonight. They're 1-1. They have a chance to go 2-1. The Commanders, they don't play Jaden Daniels yesterday. They get a win. They're 2-1. It's a small sample size, but we've seen already this season the difference in this team playing in Lambeau Field and playing on the road. Two totally different teams.
Just needed some humble pie,
team,
Ryan. Just needed some humble pie.
To the Super Bowl going through Green Bay.
For sure. And I mean, like when I was there in Green Bay, I mean, it's you dominate at home and then you try to split on the road and you're fine, right? Like it's like you go 12-4 every year and you're going to be in a good spot back when obviously 16 games. If you can go, you know, 13-4 now, like you're going to be in a good spot usually by the end of the year. So losing a road game, take it with a grain of salt against an AFC opponent. I don't think it's panic time. I do think that, the press clippings were crowning, you know, the Packers champs, you know, for a little bit.
Best
there
ever.
After
best
two
ever.
Games.
Yep.
And there was too much time after that Thursday night game to hear all that and be in that moment.
Yep.
Not even if they were listening to it or like leaning into it, but after two games, like, You don't know. Real football is starting now. Like, the NFL season starts in week 3, 4, 5, 6. Like, this stretch is going to be really important, kind of that second quarter of the season. So get to Dallas, beat the Cowboys, take that bye week, get everything figured out. LaFleur has a great record coming after a bye, and you just go into that second quarter of the season you know, with a chip on your shoulder. I think this team needs to have that chip on their shoulder to go out there and be successful.
With some news, too, that CeeDee Lamb now expected to miss 4 to 6 weeks as well with his ankle injury that he had. So it sounds like you have to beat a CeeDee Lambless Cowboys.
Which they should do, but after yesterday, you can't go into any game and think, well, this should be taken care of. This should be handled.
No doubt. Right?
You have to actually go out there and handle it. That's that's to me, was this a loss or a lesson? If it's just a loss, did they get exposed? Are they actually not that good? I'm not sensing. I think that's still a very talented
roster. They're a good team, roster. Yeah.
If it's a lesson, if they can use that, there are worse things. And ultimately, if you saw this first three-game schedule, the three-game stretch to open the season, and you were told that the Packers would open 2-1, I think you'd take it. I think you'd be okay with that. Now, you wouldn't expect the two blowouts against the Commanders and the Lions and losing in Cleveland.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think you take that too, because you stopped the two-time reigning NFC North champs. Division games are 1-5 last year in the division. They're 1-0 now. Those games count double, right? Yep, and then you beat the NFC runner-up from last year, a team that you know is going to be vying with you. That's a win that can help you late in the season. So if you had to pick one game to lose to go 2-1, it would have been that game. You just wouldn't have picked it that fashion.
Right. Yeah. Agree. Not a big deal, and one they can look back later in the season, like you said, Ryan, and be like, that's the win that focused us. That's the win that galvanized us. Like, we realized we actually had to work. We couldn't just show up and win games, but we actually have to play football. The Brewers could teach them something about that.
And, you know, if they do that, that's right. The if.
Yeah.
Opportunity is now there, but they have to go out and make sure that happens.
Yeah.
Because they can't repeat what happened in Cleveland. They can't let that be something that lingers, and that's going to be your identity as a team that can't put teams away, a team that just show ups and doesn't execute. You have to let that stop that from becoming a trend throughout the last 14 games.
Yeah, and that starts during the week of practice. Like, that is details in practice. I mean, LaFleur talked about it. Obviously, I don't know if they were letting things go in practice, like, you know, just little mistakes, or like no one was being held accountable. I can't imagine that's exactly the case, but those things are going to be hyper-focused on now. It's like, we won't go from that play unless it is executed perfectly. Like, that's how championship teams are built, is you practice the right way, and then it becomes easy on Sunday because you've done all that hard work leading up to that week, you know, that game on Sunday. So I implore them up there. I hope that they just lean into that work, lean into that grind, and say, like, all right, we got hit in the mouth. You know, this was a tough loss, but now we're going to Dallas, and we're going to do the little things to get better this week. And I can see them doing that. It's, you know, you got 2 days to kind of lick your wounds, and then you're back to work on Wednesday.
That's right. And feel good going into the bye with the win this week.
That's right.
Awesome. Ryan, thank you so much for jumping on every Monday at 1 o'clock here on the new time of the Mason Crosby Show. Thanks so much for jumping on, and we'll talk to you next week.
Fun catching up with you guys. Take care.
All right. You too.
Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, USA Today, at By Ryan Wood on the Twitterverse. Follow him, and for all the breaking news, he's always at practice. Matt LaFleur speaking today around 3, I think, so we'll hear what he has to say with a day to let this loss marinate. And figure that out. Speaking of letting losses marinate, let's get to our picks, Mason. What do you think?
I mean, I'm not happy about
it. No big deal. We have some news, and notes that we'll get to in the next segment as well. In the world of sports, some game time sets, some news of some former coaches in the area getting set to retire, and some other news and notes we'll get to too here on the Mason Crosby Show. Presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. We're in the fan studios, powered by the Podawatomi Sportsbook.